From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Today we'll hear an excerpt from Mark Chaney's presentation to the All-Day Ag Outlook. He is the lead at John Deere's Intelligence Solutions Group, and we'll discuss automation, John Deere vision, and a bit about artificial intelligence, though he does not like that word, in agriculture as we move forward through this century.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is not my comfort zone. My comfort zone's usually in the middle of field kicking tires or in a shop talking with you folks. And I am an engineer out of the ag school, mid-90s. Grew up in Henry County, Illinois, a small town called Geneseo, Illinois. And I've spent close to 27 years now at John Deere. And a large part, over two decades of that, was developing combines. And I traveled the world developing combines from walker machines, rotary machines, front-end equipment, you name it. And I left the combine organization about 4 or 5 years ago and packed up the family and everything. We moved west and currently reside in Ankeny, Iowa, where I work now at our Intelligent Solutions Group. And that's where a lot of the technology that Todd was talking about that gets presented at shows like CES and all the farm shows now, a lot of that is developed there and delivered. So there I lead and actually was brought over there to create an organization to start to develop more automation solutions to be developed and delivered across the company. So I lead teams now that are responsible for the harvest operation or harvest jobs. We have a team that's focused on planting and seeding. We've got a team that's focused on application or the See and Spray technology. And we've got a team working on construction products and then supporting groups in there. And you hear artificial intelligence is a huge, huge buzzword that you hear everybody everywhere. I'm not a real fan of that word. You know, the things that we do are developing intelligent sensors. So things like machine learning or computer vision, that's what people are talking about when they say artificial intelligence. It's basically these smart sensing technologies that can see better than a human, react faster than a human, and provide that input into a control system so we can make equipment do things it hasn't been able to do before. So that's what I'm going to talk to you today about. Feel free to ask questions as I'm going along. I'm not going to have all the answers. If I can't answer it, we'll direct you to somebody who can in the company. But the things I want to talk about are kind of four areas we're focused on, what it means, what the differences are, and some examples. So the first area is precision ag solutions. These aren't new. They've been around for a long time. Really started back in the mid-90s when we started collecting yield data. And we collected a lot of yield data, just didn't do a lot with it back in those days. And now we're getting to the point where we can get down to the field level and ultimately to the plant level. But precision ag solutions, what it means to me is about maximizing the output of the job, whether that's mostly yield potential, and minimizing the input costs. And a good example of new technology in that space is the See and Spray technology that I'm sure many of you might have heard of already. We've got two products right now that have launched. First one that's in the market for 2 years now is called See and Spray Select. It's a product that uses cameras across the booms and 36 on 120-foot boom with 5 processing units, and it will sense anything green and spray it. And it's usually for fallow ground crops. Nothing around in this part of the country, but mostly up through Texas Panhandle, up through the Wheat Belt. And then Australia is a big customer of that product also. The superhuman capability on that thing is a little self-explanatory, but 12, 15 mile an hour, you'll be able to sense a weed down to about a quarter inch in diameter or smaller and spray it across a 120-foot boom. And it's impressive. The part of it that's in the precision ag solution about minimizing input costs, it saves a lot of chemical. And It's dependent on weed pressure, but it's been able to save up to 90% in some cases. So it really reduces your input costs. The other product that's launching right now is Seen Spray Ultimate, and this is the product that'll be more for this area. And it is a same deal with 120-foot boom, 36 cameras on it. It's not just sensing green. It's sensing what a weed is and differentiating that from the crop that's been planted. And it'll just spray that weed. And it's doing more machine learning than computer vision. The other product does mostly computer vision, a little bit of training, but it's just sensing a color. And you wouldn't believe how hard just sensing a color is. Green isn't green everywhere, especially in the different lighting conditions and at night and everything. But anyway, that's a product that is about maximizing your yield and reducing your input costs. Then you get into automation solutions. Although that is an automation solution, it's not what I refer to as automation. And I'll explain autonomy after that also. But automation is about getting the best out of that piece of equipment that you can. I've visited a lot of farms across the globe, and I've seldom visited a farm where I couldn't get 10 to 15% more capacity out of a machine. And it is hard for you all to stay on top of your machine settings. I take pride in setting the combine myself, and I'm sure all you do. But how do you stay on top of those machine settings all day long, day in, day out, through all the different conditions, like an expert would? You can't. You're trying to manage the grain flowing out of the field, the dryer, everything else going on. And this is what automating the job means to me, is getting the most out of that machine that you paid for all the time. And harvest settings is a great example of that. You let, you know, those settings stay constant for a day in some areas of the country where, you know, it's a heavy dew in the morning, it dries up in the middle of the day, gets tough again at night. If you don't change those settings on your own, you're going to be losing grain. And that means money. So automating the job, there's every one of those opportunities in every job step that your products do for you on the farm. And that's what automation's doing. Then you have autonomy. Autonomy is the safe navigation of your equipment through the field. It's not focused on, you know, doing the best job it can do. It's focused on putting the eyes and brains kind of in the cab of the machine, so we can take a person out of the machine and it can safely navigate itself through the field without you in it. So those are the kind of the three main areas that my area of the company is focused on developing, delivering. It's the precision ag solutions that maximizes the outputs, minimizes the input costs. It's automating the job to get the most out of the iron. And then it's the safe navigation through the field with autonomy. And then bringing that all together is connectivity. I'm sure everybody has challenges in rural areas, and you've seen it too, where you've got bad cell service or you don't get the GPS signal when you need it. Connectivity is important for all three of these areas that I was just talking about. And it's going to be ever more important as we go forwards and need to build trust in these products. And building trust is one of the big challenges we have when we introduce something that's automated on these products. Back to the combine settings analogy again, because it's my kind of my comfort area. You know, when you've been setting a combine for a long time, you know, as long as you can remember, it's kind of hard for someone to come in and tell you how to do it differently. Trust me, because when we change combine models, all the way from walkers to rotaries, those things set a little differently. But it's hard to convince people that, you know, maybe you need to fill the machine up, or maybe you need to use a little more fan. Automation is kind of the same thing. You're going to have to see it run to trust it. And if it does something that you don't, it isn't the way you would do it, you lose trust. And the thing that we're trying to get folks to do is look at the outputs, not the inputs of these machines for setting them. Trust the output. Set the machine by the grain loss you want, or the bushels per acre, or the bushels per hour, and let it set itself. The trust building in these automated systems is a huge challenge, probably the biggest one. The technologies exist to do a lot of this. It's building trust that the job's going to be done right, so you can focus elsewhere in your operation. So those are kind of the main things I wanted to just let you know Deere's focused on. I'd be happy to answer any questions in those areas. Like I said, if there's other questions, I can direct you to people that know better than I do. I'm just the engineer. But that's where things are going. It's an exciting time in the world of agriculture, more so than I've seen in the last 25 years. There's going to be a lot of change coming in the next decade.
Who has a question? Anybody? I certainly have a bunch of them that I'd like to ask. First, and this may be one you have to put me off to somebody else, but when John Deere is thinking about who these products are for, is there a target farm, and is there a target geography?
Good. My first answer is no. But when we go to develop something brand new, like you're seeing being shown at CES, this autonomous tractor, we will focus it in an area with a limited number of customers, limited number of dealers, so we can actually develop the technology and make sure it gets to where it needs to be before we start scaling it.
Are there, for instance, the 120-foot boom, how many acres do you expect that to go over in a season?
Oh, quite a bit. I mean, the sprayer is one of the most important tools in the shed right now. And I didn't kind of touch on this one thing about that sprayer. Answers a lot of them.
So it's dealer focused.
We're wide open on the See & Spray Select product. We're capping volumes right now on the Ultimate product until it gets ready to go full scale. One thing I did regret to say on the See & Spray product is now you've got all these eyes across this 120-foot boom, and it's just sensing weeds to do this initial job and spray those weeds. But just imagine the documentation that can come off of that. Every pass you make, you're going to be looking at things, plant health, infestations, stand counts. You've got a documentation vehicle going over your crop.
Questions out here. Surely somebody's got one. Yes, Eric.
Australia.
Why is that 120 boom on fallow land in Australia as opposed to other places?
Yeah, they've got a big need in it for the fallow crop. And we started down there with a partnership with the University of Queensland, where that technology was kind of developed at the university level. And we worked a partnership with them. There is big with the saving chemical. Yeah. No, just that's where we started with the product, and that's where the customer segments were. They were wanting it first.
Yeah, so the economic reason is that the customer base was there. It was kind of the different one. You were less blunt than I was about the geography and where he was targeting to begin with.
The Australians also are huge innovators. They really push the envelope on a lot of their farming practices.
Yes, sir.
I get that question a lot. You know what? My answer to that question is it's the right size for the job. So if you look at a combine, you need so much scale of machine and power. It still takes a certain amount of energy to meet the capacities and harvesting rates you need or whatever the job means. That's not changing. That's just the physics of things. Until somebody changes the physics of how we process crop or plow a field even, it takes so much power. In the job of harvesting, my speculation is it's going to be more of a mid-size machine. The 9770 type machine would actually be a nice fit for autonomy. It's a great size machine. It's got a good power to weight ratio, and it's reliable, and it'll get the grain out. Now, what do you do to get more grain out? Maybe you add more of those. But time's going to tell, and your adoption of this technology is really going to drive what size things are going to be in the future.
Yes, sir. The first autonomous combine?
We're working on autonomy on the 8R tractor right now in tillage first, and time will tell how fast we can expand, and your adoption will actually drive those dates.
And it has already been released.
It's been released at a small scale. We're working with low numbers right now and developing.
Anybody else? Yes, back here. When it comes to economy.
Yeah.
I'm so used to talking economy. Autonomy. What are the largest safety concerns?
Making sure that vehicle doesn't do something it shouldn't. It's a big, that's actually one of the biggest hurdles that autonomy has right now is just safeguarding. You know, we don't want to hurt anybody or anything. And so that is a very serious thing and probably is a limiter on how fast we can go with introduction.
How do you work with other companies as it's related to that safety issue? For instance,
standards,
standardization, yeah. ROPS, rollover.
ROPS is a great example I use frequently in this case here to just compare. Those standards are out there right now. They're being further developed to get to take more of the ambiguity out of them, and we're helping write those. And the other companies can participate with those also. But it's just like the ROPS cab. When that standard came out, each company chooses how they meet that standard. And Deere always chooses to exceed those safety standards. And that's what we're working on right now.
How long between the 8R and is the combine the next automation thing you want? Or are there a whole bunch of steps?
Those are things I can't
I know
talk
you're
about.
A combine yep. guy. Yeah. Probably I want an automated combine. Come on. But
we got to get the settings down right first. Yep.
Got to get the set.
Yeah, there's a lot of things on a combine too, if you think about it. Look at all the functions that are happening on that machine and everything you got to pay attention to. The main thing I'll say to that question, I can't divulge anything on roadmaps or where we're heading or anything like that, but the technology is coming and we're working to expand it to other products in our lineup. And it's exciting. And again, it's going to be building trust with customers like you to figure out what works, what doesn't work. And again, our aim is not just to push technology for technology's sake. I wouldn't be up here talking to this group if that was the case. We're here to figure out how to make your operations better, make you more profitable and more sustainable for generations to come.
Could you make an autonomous grain cart that's electric? I think that would be cool.
You could do
just
about anything.
About it by itself with only a battery that could be swapped out with something else.
Yeah.
Or just in the field.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things. That would cause you to have a lot of batteries, I think.
It would, but it wouldn't take that much power, right? Take a lot of power. However, yeah. On that note, you have excavators
yep.
that are electric, and it sounds like that side is going to go electric a
yeah.
lot faster. Is that simply because it's available, the work site doesn't move?
For low power applications, you'll see a move to electrification. You know, our small tractors and turf equipment are good candidates for electrification. Prime movers for large ag, you're not going to see a lot of electrification. You may see hybrid electrification, but as a main fuel source, you're not going to see electrification.
Zero turn electric John Deere mower came out last week. Week before, one of the two, I don't remember.
Which. Yeah, I'm not. You may know better than I do.
No, it just came out. It just came out in the last 2 weeks. Other questions? Yes, sir.
On these small units,
yeah. Where's all the electricity come from? And in the same vein, the connectivity has just the connectivity, Wi-Fi, the internet.
Connectivity needs to be there for the data and control, and for you to manage remotely. I think we all have concerns, you know, how we're gonna power a lot of these electric vehicles going forward. So it's there's not magic behind that wall socket.
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Yep. Absolutely. And question.
What's the dealership have to look like for this to work?
They will be equipped to handle this stuff. And I'm sure you've heard that story before. Electronics hasn't been great, right? You know, you have issues with electronics. These systems are a little different than your normal sensor, though. And when I was telling you earlier, they're smart. So we bring the brains along with these new sensors, whether they're, you know, cameras or a new type of a perception sensor, it knows when it's not working and it'll tell us. And so it's given us a lot more information on what's going on and what to fix when something doesn't work.
Oh, you opened up another can of worms there. You heard him say it, right? It'll tell me. So the data is an issue. Do you want to buy it? Do you want to own it? Where does it land?
It is your data, period.
Just period?
Yep.
Okay. Other questions? How far off is the CN spray?
It's in limited quantities right now. Very limited. But it's ramping up. You'll see more in the coming years here.
How's it related to what you have with the planter operating in a similar form to spray?
Oh, exact shot.
Exact, yes. Yeah. Couldn't come up with it.
Yes, that was introduced at CES. So what exact shot is it's similar in the form to See and Spray, that it's, you know, kind of the right amount of chemical or fertilizer at the right time in the right spot. And that's what exact shot's doing in your planter. And it's also in very limited quantities also. But it will put a shot of starter fertilizer right down on the seed when it's dropped into the furrow. Nowhere else. So it's getting in the right spot.
And just out of curiosity, is that using a sensor to see the seed so it knows where it is, or is it a sensor that senses the drop?
You'll learn more about that at Commodity Classic.
Oh, well, if you wait till Orlando on Thursday, you will know this week.
But right now, we know we know where the seed's getting put down in the ground.
Okay. Yes?
Company politics.
Is he more in charge as an engineer, or are the bean counters more in charge? Is that the question?
Okay. Good question. I don't know. I'm happy doing what I'm doing on the engineering side, and we'll just leave it at that. They're letting us do a lot of good work, and it's doing good work for people like you, so I'm happy.
I saw another question out here. Where was it? Yes, sir? Reframe that.
Not yet.
Reframe that as a question.
Yeah. So your question is, you know, does John Deere have sensing capabilities on the combine now that can go down and sense the loss on the ground? The answer is no. To answer your question directly, we are working on ways to better control the loss on the harvest operation for automation. Like I was talking about earlier, you know, we want to get you out of the business of setting the machine and get you into the business of controlling that loss level or how much productivity you want to be running at. So we will be addressing that.
That's Mark Chaney. He is the lead of John Deere's Intelligence Solutions Group and made his comments during the All Day Ag Outlook on the 7th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You may hear more from him on our website at willag.org.